Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of Cheap Fun.
You have a lot of players.
I can see them winning this game. I can see him losing this game, so,
the hottest spot north of Milwaukee.
That's pub.
There have been a variety of proposals.
Now, I hope we elect to kick ass, is what I hope we
what
do.
What does the draft sound like?
Come on, you dumbass.
Loophole!
How do you find a male hooker?
John? No.
What?
All right, what's up?
Watch my Mets win again.
Hold on, I got to pick up a pen.
Hold on, Alonzo just went yard. Oh, the polar bear. I love it. The Mets blowing them out. It's all because of the Grimace. You see, we have a purple seat now to honor Grimace.
Why? Did he die?
No, I mean, he's the reason the Mets were sucking eggs, and then they brought Grimace out to throw out the first pitch, and they won like 9 of their next 10. And so now they've taken a seat at Citi Field and they've made it purple in honor of Grimace. Every team that's doing well has to have some sort of dumb reason why. And the Mets have Grimace.
So P. Diddy's in custody.
Yeah, he ain't going anywhere.
Do you remember P. Diddy, the rapper?
I do remember P. Diddy.
Did you ever get into any of his works?
I can't say.
Because I sure as hell didn't.
No, I remember he did the Mo Money, More Problems. And then
he did that one with Mace.
Yeah, Mace. And he ripped off, you know, he ripped off the Every Breath You Take.
Yeah. That was actually a pretty good song.
And then All About the Ben. Yeah, when Sting did it. And then there was like the All About the Benjamins. So I'm familiar with the works of P. Diddy.
Wasn't Every Breath You Take the Police, though, to be fair?
That is true. It was the Police.
It wasn't just Sting.
I honestly think the best thing that I saw P. Diddy ever do that I thoroughly enjoyed was he was in, he played like an evil record producer in Get Him to the Greek.
And he was really funny.
He was fantastic in it. That was with Russell Brand and Jonah Hill.
That's a sneaky funny movie.
It's sneaky funny. And he basically plays P. Diddy. And he's really, really good at it. So he's very likable. And I remember watching that and being like, oh, damn, P. Diddy. P. Diddy's great. He was in Monsters Ball with Halle Berry. He was the dirtbag death row husband. So P. Diddy, actually a pretty good actor. Turns out a garbage human being.
Yeah, remember he tried to assault a UCLA football coach with a kettlebell over his like kids' playing time or whatever?
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. I learned something about him today. Mm-hmm. You know his Puffy nickname? Puffy, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy.
Sean Combs.
You know why he's called Puffy?
I do not.
It comes from his temper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's so notorious for his temper, he would puff up and blow up.
Wow, I had no idea.
That people called him Puffy.
Puffy. And then he went P. Diddy.
So it's all kind of coming together, isn't it?
And dare I say, back in the day, I used to have a Sean John. I used to have a Sean John suit. I thought he made a nice suit. So it turns out I actually like more about P. Diddy than I thought.
Well,
my favorite suit.
Some of these allegations against him are pretty wild.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
I really don't know why he wasn't in hiding, because they've already. I mean, they searched his homes.
Yeah.
And what they said was, I was watching an expert talk about this, one of those feds, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were saying that the reason they searched both of his homes, or however many homes they searched, at the same time and by surprise is because what they were looking for was destroyable, meaning video evidence. Mm-hmm. And so they were looking, and that's why they ransacked the homes, is because they're looking for small areas where he would hide maybe flash drives or videos of some of the crap that was going down that he was doing. I don't know if they found it. But
and if you don't coordinate the timing, they can tip somebody to another location.
Yeah, and then they can destroy it. And I don't know what they found, but they found enough to indict him. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
I remember the complaint against him originally. Dude, it's demon-less
stuff. It's bad, yeah.
He's shooting people. He's raping men. He's sex trafficking women. I mean, it's a whole thing. Yeah, he's on kidnapping, rape.
Sex trafficking. Racketeering. That's your favorite.
Oh, absolutely.
Did you read about the freak-offs?
Yeah.
That is a whole thing.
Yeah, so there was like 1,000 bottles of lube or something in his house.
1,000 bottles of baby oil and other lubricants that were confiscated from his home in the raid.
Look, let's not judge someone's lube content.
1,000 bottles?
Hey.
1,000? Are you having?
I don't want to judge someone's lube content. I'm not willing to go down those roads. It sets a dangerous precedent. A man's lube consumption is his own damn business.
Confirm or deny you have more or less than 750
and
bottles.
No one else's.
You know what he was doing with that?
Worry about what my everyone has that drawer, like when you were growing up with your parents or like your buddy's like parents' house. Everyone had that one drawer. You don't want to go in that drawer. Don't open that thing.
So
up.
He was watching, he would traffic women.
Yeah.
And he would make them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would watch, and then they would be so worn out.
Yes. I was gonna say that's a good term.
Yeah. And stuff.
Desert style.
That they would puke and he would call in like medical.
Like reinforcements essentially. Like
medical
like
people
to do IVs and stuff.
Revive
he didn't
them.
Want people leaving these freak offs where they'd have to go days like being forced to have sex with prostitutes and then.
While he would watch.
And then like have something medically happen and blame it on Diddy. So he'd be like, oh, let me make sure you're okay physically before you leave here because of all the drugs and all the sex I've been making
you have.
Well, look,
allow me to play devil's advocate here.
Souk wanted to be a part of that. He's pissed he wasn't invited.
Sounds like, in that case, that sounds like kind of a cool move that he's doing. It's like, hey, I want to make sure everyone's on the up and up during the freak-offs. So, yes, the enslavement, very bad. But the medical care, top-notch. Top. You think you go to your average freak-out and you're getting an IV? You think you're getting medical care?
The only reason you need the medical care is because the freak-off was so heinous.
Look, I'm not saying that it was great. I'm just saying it could have been worse.
Drugged? They were drugged?
Yeah, that's not good.
No, I can't do that.
I thought the lube was nice. Like he's providing a service there, but yeah, it's bad.
And the U.S. attorney says they do have video of these freak-offs.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, they did find video. Okay,
I've got audio right here of the U.S. attorney saying they found video.
Oh,
boy.
Who's worse, him or R. Kelly?
Oh, him. Oh yeah, R. Kelly. Yeah,
really?
He's way worse than R. Kelly. Now R. Kelly.
Way worse.
Yeah, way worse. Like R. Kelly, he is a absolute scumbag. And this is going to sound terrible, and believe me, I understand it sounds terrible.
I can't wait to hear this.
But it's going to be. There's just no way to put. There's no good way to put this. R. Kelly was into underage girls, which is heinous. That's like the sixth worst thing that P. Diddy was into. Like
sixth worst?
Sixth worst.
Oh, come on. It's higher than that.
He was murdering people.
Murdering? What are you talking about?
He wasn't
charged with murder. What is this? You just changed his charges.
He's shooting people.
He didn't murder anyone.
Only because they didn't die from the gunshots.
Well, he's a bad shot.
R. Kelly wasn't sexually enslaving people.
I think he kind of was. He was grooming and...
He was grooming.
It was bad. Yeah. R. Kelly's situation was...
R. Kelly's situation
He was more of a creep.
Yeah, P. Diddy's like
P. Diddy's more of just a bad, like, well, just a. Yeah. Well, they're both bad, but they're they're different archetypes of of horrible people.
R. Kelly was just R. Kelly had a very specific thing, right? He just he liked underage girls, which is
well, and he liked whizzing on them.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Well, did we have to add that?
Yeah.
Well, that's a specific thing that he liked.
A specific thing. Like really? He was a sexual deviant. Of like
the old golden shower.
Yeah, it is bad. Diddy, on the other hand, like the stuff like look, everyone knows that there's people out there that are into young girls. Like that's a whole thing. Like there's an entire Asian tourism built around that. You ever meet some weird like 55-year-old guy's like I'm going to Thailand by myself? Yeah, we know why you're going, dude. It ain't because of the beaches. P. Diddy though, dude, that guy got creative with it. Like Ark, like he's having like enslaved sexual Olympics. No, dude, it's not even on the same. It's not even on the same level. R. Kelly is amateur hour. Like R. Kelly is like North Dakota State. He's a champion in his own league. Dude, P. Diddy is like the Georgia of scumbags. Like that's a whole other level. They didn't even release. Like he's so bad, they won't release him. The judge is like, dude, you're in prison.
Well, they wouldn't release R. Kelly either, did they? Or maybe he did get out, but I think he was maybe on house arrest.
Probably.
But he's behind bars now.
Diddy ain't getting out. Diddy's spending the rest of his life behind bars.
Yeah, I don't know why that guy wasn't in hiding, but he must be an idiot. But there's also the video of him beating up his girlfriend, the hotel video.
Oh, yeah, that was awful.
God.
Yeah, it's all kinds of bad.
And that was because she was like trying to like essentially escape his encapture.
Yeah, he was in a towel.
Yeah, someone said, where is the world coming to when we're arguing R. Kelly, P. Diddy, a battle of lesser evils? Yes, it is a battle of lesser evils. It's like saying one is Satan and one is a demon.
Hopefully they do Drake next, because there's a lot of scuddy out there that...
That he may be the next one?
He's bad.
Well, it's all kinds of... I'm just happy that finally, you know, like the R. Kelly stuff, R. Kelly, like, was it Aaliyah? R. Kelly was having sex with a 13-year-old girl in front of, like, the world. Like, I forget which one wrote a song, him or her, called Age is Just a Number. I think that whole album. R. Kelly was bragging about sleeping with a teenager for years. And it took us, like, 20 years before someone was like, yeah, you should probably not do that, and we're going to arrest you now.
And we can't celebrate this album or your works or anything else.
No, so that son of a bitch is behind bars, and thank God. And now, like, P. Diddy, again, apparently this has been out there forever. It's the same stuff with the Me Too. Can we start moving a little faster on this? Who is it like Weinstein, right? The Harvey Weinstein casting couch was like universally known. And how long did it take us before we were like, we should probably arrest
him? Then everyone's like, oh, you know what? Actually, yeah, over here also, Me Too. And you're like, wait. Why didn't you all say something way sooner?
Yeah, can we just cut out like the 20-year in between and like, hey, we know what you're doing. And even though you're really popular and like you're a big Hollywood star, we're going to arrest you now and put you in prison.
You know, R. Kelly may be a free man. Before he dies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he only got 20 years.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's currently 57.
Oh, so he's got... All right, he'll probably get out at some point, right?
Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even... Does he get to... Is there, like, time off for that? Like, because most people don't serve their full sentence. Although he's a sex crime guy, so maybe he will serve the full sentence?
I don't know, bro. He only got 20, and he's 57, so... Okay. And Cosby, you know, he's out there.
Yeah, he's out there.
He's 87.
There's another guy.
There's another one.
Like, everyone knew.
Yeah.
Everyone. So maybe, just maybe, like, you know, I'm just saying, can we speed up the process where we take all the sexual criminals of Hollywood and just move it along? And here you go.
Yeah, I heard a woman talking about, I think she was the stylist or maybe, like, the hairdresser for Diddy's... I don't know. Was it his wife that he was? Was that his wife? His girlfriend?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, she was talking about how she witnessed a lot of that stuff. And she just said, hey, you know, when you're in his orbit and there's all these yes people, everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But you are terrified to say anything. She's like, it's like the mob. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not going to be good for you. So it's just this sphere of fear.
Yeah.
And you just won't, they won't say anything. So that you know, there's a lot of, I mean, you know, I think there's just a lot of other famous people maybe in that same genre that are like this.
Yeah. Well, maybe this.
And people are just afraid to say something. They're.
I always said that most of the time people this powerful never really go to prison, and at least we're getting a couple of them in prison now. The P. Diddy going down. So, good luck to you, my man. Enjoy prison. Because, like, I guess this place he's at, the Brooklyn, like, the detention facility, I guess it's, like, notoriously pretty shady. Although you would think that if someone has the ability to kind of withstand prison, it would be someone with $1 billion.
Yeah, and does he have street cred?
Well, I was also wondering, is he too famous? Do they put him in some sort of extra protective because other people want to get a rep for themselves by doing something to him?
I'm sure he's not in general population. I'm sure he's got his own little corner there. But hopefully he dies in prison because it sounds like he deserves to.
How old's P. Diddy? P. Dids.
He's probably in his 50s, right? I think him and R. Kelly probably about the same.
54.
Yeah. So he'll get, you know, I would assume he's going to get 25, 30 years. Same thing as R. Kelly. I don't know, again, if they get time off, but, you know, welcome to prison.
All right, up next, where's your panic meter on this one? This is the Club on the Fan. I've got an open water story for you here.
Open water, big water.
And I tell you what, this is terrifying.
Open water in general is terrifying. Can we all agree on that? When you're out on water and you can't see anything other than water, it's one of the most serene, scary feelings that you can have. Because you're just like, oh my God, this is beautiful. And you realize if something goes wrong, I'm effed.
Well, if you are in a spot where everything looks the same, looking 360 degrees in every direction, that is terrifying.
Yeah. You're just like, oh.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most panicked, where would your panic meter be? Primetime, North Carolina.
Okay.
We've got a man named Graham Taylor.
That's the name of the city? Primetime?
No.
Primetime, North Carolina?
No. No, no, no.
I thought you were teeing up the location.
No. You don't know? Are you being silly here?
I am not being silly here.
I don't think
here.
He is.
He doesn't get that?
No.
No, sometimes I say primetime Longview or primetime. Yeah. You know, when disseminating a news report from that
I see.
Town.
Okay.
It's good that you're paying attention to the show, though.
I thought Buck was being facetious there, but then it turned out
good hell, he's never even heard that. How many times have I done that?
I don't know if I've ever heard you do that.
Really? That's like a news thing. They do it like on Dateline. I mean, that's just
do it
like,
all the, it's,
it's like an old news thing. Yeah.
Anyways, back to primetime.
The levels to which he tunes us out.
It's impressive.
Do we even know?
No. Well, he's busy there. There's
so many things going on back here. I got YouTube people yelling at me.
He's got one foot out the door. He's on vacation. He's probably dealing with his wife who wants him home because she's dealing with the speed cushions. God knows what else.
My wife is across the country on business. I'm at home with two kids. Well, I'm not. No. The grandparents are.
Now, there you go. That's why. He's busy trying to get home so grandpa doesn't burn down the house or, you know, give his kid whiskey gums. Buck doesn't care.
Whiskey gums?
Hey, you remember that?
Is that still a thing?
Not in our house.
No, I was going to say that wouldn't. What would Mrs. Buckley think if she came home and you were rubbing a little of the old Tullamore Dew on Junior's gums?
You know what? I would say that of the two of us, I have a little bit more patience with the kids than she does. She'd be like, all right, whatever it takes. I don't care.
How much do you have to, like, you know, how much do you have to put on there?
That's why you don't do it. I don't know.
Oh, you just, you're not
what
getting,
do you do?
You just dip, like, if a kid's teething.
Yeah.
You dip your finger in some whiskey and then you rub it on their gums.
Yeah. My mom used to give me Jack Daniels and told me it was medicine.
Yeah, it's a little bit to help you sleep, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
She just gave it to me. She's like, here, drink
just
this.
Just like for fun?
When I was some sick. Of this. Just when I was sick and stuff.
Well, it's the same thing. It's why do you drink NyQuil? It warms you up a little bit and it helps you have a little sleepy sleep. So, like, you're telling me you've never drugged your kid with Benadryl or NyQuil or something?
Every day.
It's the same thing. Just that we freak out about it. But yeah, that was the old thing, is you dip your finger in some whiskey. You're not giving your kid a shot.
Well, I don't think
you're not having a highball over there.
No one's freaking out about it. It's just, I just wondered how it all worked, you know, like, and when's too much, like if I pour a half gallon of Jack down her throat, like,
that's probably
that,
that's a little probably more than the gum in it.
Is that bad?
I remember one time when my oldest, Taylor, was little, she was little and she wasn't feeling well. And I think it was an allergy tablet or something. And I was supposed to
I was supposed to like break it into half or something. It was like an adult one, and my wife was like, break it in half or just give her like a little nub of it. And I was like, ah, whatever. I'm like, she'll be
here. Like, take the whole thing. And by a whole thing, I mean bottle.
I just gave her the one allergy pill or whatever, and she just was out. She just laying.
Were you worried?
No, I was like, oh, she's asleep. I mean, she's sleeping. She ain't going anywhere. And my wife was like, how much did you give her? I was like, I gave her half a pill. I don't know. You told me to break it in half. She's like, where's the other half? I'm like, I threw it away. She's like, you gave her the whole pill. I know you gave her the whole pill. She was miserable. We were trying to help her sleep. And I was like, I don't know, just here, take it. You're fine. Like, you're not going to, you can't die from a one pill overdose of Benadryl, for God's sakes. But you would have thought that I committed some sort of war crime at my house that day.
Primetime, North Carolina.
The city.
God. Graham Taylor goes out by himself, takes his little speedboat out fishing. Yeah. He likes to go fishing out there. And he says he is 30 miles.
Good Lord.
Offshore.
Boy, he's going
by himself.
He's going out there, which, by the way, you shouldn't do.
100% agree.
Yeah,
like you're asking for it.
Yeah, it's a long way.
Here's
to go.
What happened. He said the ocean was pretty rough that day, and he was standing there fiddling with his poles, and a wave knocks him out of his boat.
Oh boy! And is the motor still trolling?
Yes.
Oh, it's
the motor is going. He is going 2 miles an hour on the boat, so it's still kind of puddling along.
Yes, yeah, so there's on fishing boats like this, there'll be a trolling motor that you just.
That it keeps it moving. It's not like in full gear, but it's moving.
That's right.
And you're not catching it.
He's not catching it.
And I'm looking at him. Yeah, he ain't catching it. He's an old man.
So his boat.
Oh, boy.
Is gone.
And you just watched it. Just 2 miles an hour, just. Imagine like a rascal just driving away from you and nothing you can do.
The severe depression setting in as you watch it just putter away would be brutal.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what I asked about the panic meter. I don't...
17. It goes to 11.
I mean, you want to talk about the most panicable moment?
Yes.
It's that.
At that point, I would not judge you for pooping your pants. Fear pee, fear poo, everything is on the table at that point. Your ass is dead. I'm hoping that he, as a fisherman out by himself, I'm hoping he was wearing a life vest.
It doesn't say.
If you have a life vest on, I mean, look.
No, he did. No, sorry, he did. Okay. Yeah, he said he did.
Okay, so I was say, you're effed either way, but at least with the life vest, you're effed until, like, the hypothermia kicks in.
He said, I don't panic. I just stay focused. I wanted to keep focused, and hopefully somebody was going to come along. But that's it. You have no...
Yeah, boy.
He's 30 miles out there. Like, you are at the mercy of luck.
Yeah, 100%.
And that is just terrifying.
There's no way. He can try to play this calm, cool, and collected. There's no way he kept... You know, he was calm. No.
Well, he was out there about an hour, just floating around.
Oh, my gosh.
Nothing in sight but horizon.
Yeah, just
nothing.
What's happening here?
And a boat comes by and picks him up.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Another fisherman. No, I can't imagine. I can't imagine any of this.
I can't believe they spotted him because, I mean, I'm guessing you haven't done a lot of fishing, but when you're out on those boats, you can't see squat in the water. Like,
well, that's why it's so lucky that they must have gotten so close to him that they, hey, wait, there's a guy right there.
Yeah, because the old idea that you can yell at someone or someone can see you, dude, it is way harder to see anything out there, especially if there's some waves, the white caps out there. Dude, that someone is looking out for that. How long was he in the water?
An hour.
Just an hour.
Boy, I just stunning.
Did they happen to see his abandoned trolling boat somewhere and work it backwards?
Well, no, what they said was they were going to go offshore that day, and the place that they thought they wanted to go first was pretty rough.
Yeah.
So they reversed course and they went somewhere else. Whew. He said they made a turn, came back, and my friend Dave said, hey, there's a guy in the water.
Just say, look
just
at this.
Just dumb luck. That's unbelievable.
Wow. Unfreaking believable.
And so they picked him up. Dude, actually, they drove by and went home, and then he called 911.
Poked at him with the stick. Don't worry, we'll send someone back for it. Don't have enough room on board. Sorry about that.
And of course, he's saying God leads you in certain pathways.
Yeah. God. So did God? And this is what I don't understand about these people. So did God tip him over?
Well, no. This is the hero guy. The other boat guy.
But even for that hero, does he think God threw that guy out of his boat so that he could be a hero?
That's what I don't understand. If God directed that guy to save him, why wouldn't God just not have him tipped over in the water?
Yeah, why wouldn't God have just had him have a safe, pleasant fishing trip?
I don't understand that, but, you know, my family is big into that. My family, you know, God saves them all the time, and I'm always confused by it. But, hey, God works in mysterious ways.
Taylor, the guy who was in the water, said, I'm not somebody that goes to church regularly. Do I believe in something? Yes. What it might be, where it might be, who it might be, I have no idea. But I do feel that somebody was looking out for me.
Yeah, that dude in the boat. That is an amazing, that is crazy. Only an hour or two.
You know what the best part is? Huh. Well, maybe not the best part. But a residual side note to the mm-hmm. story, notable notation.
I like notable notations.
They went and caught the boat.
Oh!
The boat was cool. Just rolling out. The boat was straight on course, and they just chased it down.
There's your cherry on top. You didn't even lose your vessel.
So the guy got
vessel?
To drive his boat. Here's the thing. Do you have the balls to drive your boat back? And more importantly, do you stay out and do a little more fishing?
No, he did. They said he ended the day how he originally planned. He fished and went home.
Oh, dude, I'm going home right away. Like, what? He stayed out?
Yes!
Jeez. Hey.
And he did say he would have died without his life jacket.
Yeah. I was going to say, you really got to make
sure. And that's his big message is, hey, wear a life jacket.
You think?
Thanks, Graham.
That was my first thought is, God, I hope you had one on there. Although, you know who doesn't need one? It's, to this day, it's the most amazing story I think I've ever heard is the NFL fullback.
Was it Peyton Hillis?
It was Heath. Peyton Hillis saved some people from a fire. Something or other. He was like the Dolphins fullback. Is it Heath Miller? And same sort of thing. Like, he fell off his boat and he was like 7 miles offshore and the son of a gun swam back. Yeah.
Oh, it was Rob Conrad.
Rob Conrad.
16-hour swim for survival.
You were close, though.
Yeah.
Why Heath was I Miller,
thinking,
Rob Conrad.
Why was I thinking... Look up Rod Conrad, dude. That dude just looks like a freaking beast.
He swam how far?
I think it was like 7 miles.
It says it was a 16-hour swim.
Like through like
27
ocean?
Miles.
Oh, God. I thought it was only like 7.
Said he was stung by a jellyfish.
Yeah.
Circled by a shark.
Yeah.
He was out there for 16. He had to have a life jacket, right?
No, I think he swam on his own. I don't think he had a life
no
jacket.
No way.
Yes. I think he swam back.
I've never heard of this story.
You never heard
of
this?
When was this?
It was in 2015.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, it was a while back. Yeah, he got knocked off his boat. Like, we'll read about it, but it's it's the most amazing story. Because I remember,
this story says he was 9 miles from land.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think it was that far. And when he got to land, no one believed his story. They thought that he had been on some sort of, like, weird bender or whatever, because the story, they're like, no way. Like, you didn't make it.
It says he swam to Palm Beach covering a distance of 27 miles before ringing the doorbell of an oceanfront home at 4:30 a.m.
So what was it, 9 miles or 20?
Well, so basically, he was 9 miles off the coast.
Yeah.
But because of the distance, he ended up swimming with the current. They're saying 27 was what he ended up traveling.
Yeah, because he couldn't swim against the current or whatever, so he just had to go, like, if you've ever had that, like where you get sucked out a little bit, you can't swim back.
You can't go back.
You're like, it's like diagonal. And yeah, I don't think he had a life jacket on. I think he just swam it.
Dude, that's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it says similar thing. He was fishing. He caught a fish. He was tending to it. A large wave hit, flipped him into the ocean, and his boat was on autopilot headed east. So it just trolled away from him.
Yep.
So him being only 9 miles out, he knew that maybe there was a chance he could get back.
And it said he was not wearing a life preserver.
Yeah. God.
The other guy was 30 miles out. He knew there was no chance he was getting back.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, whether life jacket or not. I saw a thing on, to be in the water that long, because I saw a thing on like 60 Minutes or Dateline once about a father-daughter that got left behind. This does happen sometimes. They were on one of those like vacation snorkel things, and they got left behind because they were each other's partner. So you're supposed to have, like, when you go on those things, you're supposed to have a snorkel or a diving partner,
right?
Yeah,
kind of like a buddy system.
Yeah. Well, they were each other's, and they ended up, like, I don't know, like the count ended up being wrong or whatever, and they got left behind. So they were stranded in the water for, I want to say it was like a day or two. And eventually they made their way to some form of like, there was like an outcrop, like a sandbar sort of thing, like a little rocky outcrop. And he said when he went up to get up on it, he was so weak that they couldn't, he couldn't get the up on this, this like kind of rocky embankment. And he said when he reached up and grabbed the rock to try to pull himself up, the skin on his hand completely peeled off like a glove because he had been in the water for so long. Mm. And he said it was the most frustrating thing because they were there. If they could just get on this little island thing, they'd be safe. And they couldn't imagine. It was only like a foot or two up and they couldn't get themselves up on it because they were so exhausted. So they had to make their way around and eventually found an area that was small, shallow or whatever, and were able to get up on it. Yeah, open water, worst thing in the world.
Don't go fishing.
No, not by yourself. Well, and again, I had to remember the Tampa Bay Buccaneer players that had their boat tipped over. One of those guys that died was one of my teammates in Tampa Bay. They went crazy from the hypothermia and were diving in the water.
Yeah, this guy texting in that Conrad's situation, one way it was a little different is that he could see land the whole time.
Okay.
And that, I'm guessing that helps a lot.
And he said he knew what direction to...
Well, yeah, you just go toward...
Yeah, I've got more details on this story. We can get to him when we get back, but they are harrowing, and he almost got rescued twice and then didn't get rescued.
Why?
Which, well, I can explain that too, but basically one recreational fishing boat came within 50 feet of him and didn't see or hear him and just kept going.
Yeah.
And a search and rescue Coast Guard helicopter went right over his head and didn't see him and didn't stop. And so here he is, like, fighting for his life 5 or 6 hours in, and he thinks he's getting saved twice and doesn't and still has the will to
he made it.
Keep going.
Dude, what a badass.
That dude is
unbelievable.
A champ.
All right, here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Yeah. What are you guys doing?
Nothing reading about Rob Conrad.
Yeah. Buck's reading to me about Rob Conrad. That story.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Is really wild. Like, yeah. He said that he got 5 or 6 hours in. So this is the guy. He's a football player. Falls off his boat. Hit by a wave. Same story as in North Carolina.
But with no life jacket.
He has no life jacket. He's 9 miles offshore, and his boat drives off because his boat hated him.
Yeah.
And
stop leaving your motor on when you're leaning over your boat.
And then he said he just started swimming. He saw lights. He knew which direction to go, and so he just was like, "All right." And he got 5 to 6 hours in, no life jacket. And that's when he realized he could do this. 5 to 6 hours.
Quote, 5 or 6 hours in, I realized, maybe I can do this.
Yeah, it took him 10 more hours.
Yep, said he alternated between a breaststroke and a backstroke. He was worried that he was going to cramp or get hypothermia. Because, you know, you can the water was in the 70s, and so you think that's warm, but it's way less than your body temperature, so you will get hypothermia out there. And
it's not a matter of if, it's just when.
Yeah.
Can you make it out of time?
16 hours, and that son of a gun made it to shore.
No cramping. But he said he got all the way to the beach, and he started to hear the water change. Like, he'd hear the waves crashing. Yeah. He's like, oh, I almost made it. So he gets there, and then he can't walk.
Nope. He had to lay on the ground and warm himself up until he could walk. And there is video, by the way, of him emerging. Like, the ABC News has video of when they found him. And yeah, he, you know, freaking nuts.
Do you think that, how much of that is just his physical body and how much of that is his brain?
I think most, well, clearly being an NFL guy and being in good shape, because I hate to do it, but if you're some dude that hasn't exercised in 10 years, you're not making
that.
But I think most of that. Honestly,
but even so,
I think most of that, besides the physical aspect, you have to be able to physically do it. That dude was just a guy that probably has an iron will. Like, I've seen enough of those stories about whether it's Navy SEALs or some hiker that's lost. And Bear Grylls talks about this all the time, watching those survival shows. Everyone does. He says, dude, the main part about survival is believing that you're going to make it out alive.
Yeah.
They consulted like a long distance open water endurance swimmer about what he did. And she said, I don't know that this is really about the swimming as much as it is his mental makeup as an athlete.
Yeah.
Toughness, having resolve, knowing things are going to be painful, but getting through it anyways. That's what this was about.
Yeah, and they say that all the time, like in special forces training, that every one of those guys is capable of making it through, but only like 10% do. I mean, the one guy that makes through isn't physically any better than the other guys. It's just in
it's
his
mental.
His mental. And like I said, there was that other story, and there was a guy that I played with in Tampa who was a really nice guy. He was a defensive end, and dude was an absolute stud. Him and some friends, there was like two NFL players and then two like college players. They were all friends. It was in South Florida, and their boat got tipped, and they all made it back up to the boat. Right, their boat was just tipped over, and they couldn't get it flipped. And night hit.
They sat on it, right?
They sat on the boat, and they
under it.
Yeah, they were holding on, and the one guy that they found was holding on to the motor, and it was a really tough tale. But he said that everyone else lost it, and they had hypothermia. Yep. But he said all his friends, they started taking off their light. One took off their life jacket and said they saw light down under the water, and they were going to swim towards the light. Another one of his friends was trying to rip him off of the boat and drag him down with him. I mean, they just literally between the hypothermia and they just snapped, and he managed to keep it together. And in the morning, someone found the boat floating, and he was clinging to it. And again, physically, it was just he was able to keep it together, and the other three guys weren't.
New investment opportunity. Kill switch in the event of a driverless boat.
That's probably a really good idea.
Like, yeah, why don't we have something similar to what you have on the jet skis, where like if you get thrown off, it just automatically.
Yeah, there's like a little. They have them on treadmills, for God's sake.
Yeah,
right.
You should just have a sensor that's in your pocket or whatever, and if you are not over the center of that boat and you are on the outside of that boat, that thing shuts off.
Yeah. Whoops.
Can we make $1 million doing this?
I don't know. Fishermen are like, I don't need this.
Well, it's not about the idea; it's about the implementation. Yeah,
well, we gotta now find a way to make the government make it mandatory, then every boat manufacturer has to buy our part.
There you go, bingo.
So let's do it.
All right, we'll be back to wrap it up after this on the Fan. Yeah, pub beer. Let's go drink.
Yeah,
we'll have some cheap fun.
That is the definition of cheap fun, and who doesn't? I had some pub beers this weekend.
Well, coming up next is Hot Corner. They're going to talk about my Royals.
That's expensive fund. I know what that show makes.
Yeah.
It's bucks.
They're a weight. on the
an albatross, if you will.
The Odyssey books.
Our baseball budget swelleth.
Yeah, but baseball's a great sport.
It is. The Mets just won again. I don't see what the Braves are doing, but hey, man, the Mets are, as it stands right now, the Mets are a game up.
Yeah, they have a little magic, the Mets.
Hell yeah.
You guys going to talk about Bobby Witt tonight, Patrick?
Bobby!
Oh, damn it. They just...
Only the sixth shortstop ever to go 30 for 30, and the second one to, or actually the first to ever do it twice.
Hell yeah. They're about to blow this, though. Tell you what, it's getting tight in the AL Central.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not good.
And that's not good for the Mariners, because the Mariners need to climb the Tigers.
So enjoy the hot baseball talk. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on the Fan. Good night.
Red ships of Spain, red ships of Spain.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.